I think you put the general in. He should make the call.
I'm also convinced that David Petraeus can bring this to a successful conclusion.
Predetermined withdrawal date, that in my view will doom this operation.
Well, you were hearing what was the business of the Senate until we learned this morning that Senator Robert Byrd has passed away. The longest-serving senator was a majority leader in the Senate, held almost every leadership post there was to have in the Senate. He passed away, and that will certainly drive the agenda on Capitol Hill, but we haven't heard anything yet to change what the agenda is going to be. And since it is Monday morning, we thought we'd continue to discuss this with Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Marcus, this week is going to be all about what?
Well, I was going to say it was going to be all about continuity, but that was until Senator Byrd passed away.
But it may still be about continuity in a sense, although some things are changing for good.
That's exactly it. And I was going to say disappointing continuity. Now it might be just about disappointment, particularly perhaps with the Obama agenda. I think this is going to make it a lot harder for a lot of things to happen that the Democrats want it.
Well, Charlie Herman's also with us, Takeaway and WNYC economics editor. Charlie, this week is all about thinking about Toronto and the G20 summit just ending.
For me, it's all about, and it's not a very exciting word, but jobs, because at the end of this week, we will get the jobs report for June, and that's really what everybody, economists, analysts, investors, are looking at to get a sense of where exactly is the economy going.
Well, Marcus, let's begin with you. What do you think is on senators' minds as they think about the Petraeus confirmation, which is expected to be, of course, very simple, and the Elena Kagan confirmation, which may be a little more complicated, given the legacy of Robert Byrd that's going to be in everyone's mind?
Well, I was thinking about Petraeus and about Kagan. I was thinking about continuity because these will be things that look like change on the surface, getting rid of McChrystal, Kagan taking her place in the court. But in fact, given the roles they're stepping into, those different personalities will not actually bring different policies, will not swing the court. Kagan's taking a seat that already belonged to the left side. Petraeus has taken over a job as the commander in Afghanistan.
And he kind of already had
McChrystal. That he already had. And, right. and the policy was really as much his child as it was Stan McChrystal's child. So there I don't see great change. However, when you talk about the Senate agenda going forward, and the Democrats needed every single vote they had to make anything happen up on the Hill. And some of the stuff they're trying to do is really huge, like financial regulatory reform. They're going to need. They would have needed Senator Byrd there. Without him, I'm not clear they can get it done. When it came to health care reform, they literally wheeled in Senator Byrd in his wheelchair. They needed him to get it done.
And to chime in on that, I think that the financial regulations that we got approved last week, now there's really a big question. I mean, the Senate needs 60 votes to end cloture, to end debate on it. They really needed Byrd's vote, and this sort of throws into question, will the president have something on his desk before the July 4th holiday when Congress goes into recess?
And there are two ways of looking at this, though. I mean, on the one hand, the math, of course, favors the GOP, but there's also a sense of style. I mean, with Robert Byrd passing, he was the person you could count on for the zinger, for the person who would say what nobody else would say, the person who absolutely, hit the candor button when he stood up to speak. Is that going to encourage maybe some members on the GOP side to maybe throw a wrench into the Kagan nomination or to slow down on Petraeus?
I think they couldn't be slower. They couldn't be more interested in obstruction. I think that when it comes to the Supreme Court, they wouldn't. I would kind of suspect politically it makes it harder to throw in a wrench, actually, because he was all about the senatorial, not just tone, but also senatorial process and the role of the Senate. He took it very, very seriously, whether it was declaring war, which is why he voted against the war in Iraq, because the Senate wasn't given that prerogative to declare war, or whether, in this case, it's about, consent and confirm of a Supreme Court justice. It's not about obstruction. It's not about being willful. It's about actually bringing to bear the deliberation and intelligence of the Senate. And on those grounds, he would say Kagan should be confirmed. And to block it for political purposes, which is what's driven lots of what's happened in the Senate, he would really be against. So I don't think they would do that. But I think, again, financial regulatory reform is a different animal.
Well, let's shift over to the financial side. The G20 summit is over in Toronto. President Obama said at one point you can't rely on the profligate spending habits of U.S. consumers to drive prosperity around the world anymore. It seemed to me this summit was a lot about restricting demand, not increasing demand. It was kind of a austerity summit, wouldn't you agree?
It was a little bit. I mean, you have a lot of European countries in particular saying, look, we don't want to keep these spending programs going. We have so much debt already. Our bigger issues that we need to reduce the amount of debt that we have. The big concern, of course, is that if you do that too fast, too quickly, that you could cause a double dip. You're hearing a lot more talk about, could we fall back into a recession? Have we gotten out of the situation that we were just in? And in the U.S., I think that's why this jobs figure is going to be so important and also very confusing, because it's expected that it will actually be negative and that we'll see the unemployment rate go up. And the reason for this is partially because the government having all these census workers who will no longer be on the payroll. So that could be actually larger than the actual number of jobs that are created by private sector companies. Combine that with the fact that we're going into a holiday weekend, so there'll probably be a lot less trading on Friday. Monday's a holiday. It's going to be a little bit of a weird week at the end of the week, and it's really going to take some, these numbers are negative, but maybe there's a positive. It'll be a strange day.
Well, let's step back for a second and just look at the week. I mean, Obama comes out of the summit talking about, hey, wait a minute, guys, don't forget about stimulus, because that's where the jobs come from. He's looking down to Friday when the unemployment number comes out of the Labor Department, and that will be the number for the month of June, right?
Correct.
And economists are expecting that to be a negative number. So he's really concerned about stimulus going away.
He's concerned about stimulus going away. He's concerned about the optics of it, that they still have a stimulus package here in the U.S. where money is still being spent. And if the number is negative, the headline number says negative, but you have to sort of dig in there to get the fact that maybe it's positive. You know, this is also about statecraft as well from Obama, trying to massage the fact that there's a lot of signs out there the economy is not doing as well as it was just a couple of months ago. Retail sales are down, housing sales down, and these are all issues for him going forward.
Statecraft and domestic politics, Marcus, the unemployment extension is still bottled up in the Senate. Any chance that that gets pulled out this week?
Politically, it looks harder and harder without Senator Byrd. I was surprised at the U.S. getting smacked down at the summit, and the U.S. Very vigorously saying, to keep this global economy growing and avoid a double dip, you need to keep spending money. And the European governments, in unison with Canada, our closest ally, saying, no, we disagree with you.
Austerity.
That was shocking.
Maybe that's the agenda for the week. Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner in the New York Times, and Charlie Herman, Takeaway, and WNYC Economics Editor. Thanks so much. That's your agenda.